chapter of Romans, third verse, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. In connection with what has been said already, we have that both Elijah and Elisha crossed that river, which is typical of them. They got to the other side. I see in this, which we have in the sixth chapter of Romans, that God's desire is that we, in our hearts, in our minds, in our ways, we should be on the other side of death. As we've seen, death then means the end of everything connected with us on this earth. Now we find that Elijah said to Elisha, when he got over the other side, he said, if you see me taken from you, he'd asked for a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. God graciously gave him to see him, but Elijah was taken from his midst up into heaven. And when he came back again, crossed the river, his life, as we've heard, had a different character to Elijah's. Now I take it that God's desire is that our lives, having been baptized, he puts it here to be baptized, and I take it that it's of not much value to be baptized without faith in God, in Christ Jesus. So we find then that if he crosses over the river, he has to live a life which is of a different character. What is spoken of here in Romans as newness of life. Now, where do we see it? I'm afraid, in my years, I've seen many Christians, I've seen their lives, I've seen the way they walk, and however much I may admire them, I've never yet seen one perfect. However, there was one person on this earth who did live a life perfect. And he, every step of that life, bore the characteristics of a new man. Might you turn with me then to Psalm 16. Thank you. And I think if we study what we get in this psalm, we'll see the new character that God wants to see in us. Not according to flesh. Not according to what we have as people of this world. What we have in Christ. Let me read it to you. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all thy delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied, that hasten after another to God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names upon my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There's an expression there in the last verse, which as it were puts it all in a nutshell. The path of life. Yes, we're let down here to live Christ. Let him be the one that is seen in us. Well might Elisha say, I want a double portion. I want a double portion. Now we see from the second chapter of Acts, where Peter quotes this psalm, that it was evidently these words can be fully put to the Lord. Every word. Not that I'm able to explain it all to you. But I see in this psalm the absolute expression of one who walked down here to the glory of God. And that's what God wants us to do. Now, as I said, I want to look at it then as those who were able, because they were not just exactly the same as the Lord. Why is it, I've often thought, why is it that we want a double portion? Elijah is typical of the Lord. He had the Spirit. He would eventually live down here with the Lord. In the power of the Spirit of God that was given to him, he lived it. But why is it that I, you, or Elisha should say, I want a double portion? I see, I only give my own thoughts, that if I might so say it, I need twice as much of the Spirit of God than the Lord has. Not that I'm speaking disparagingly. I I want a double portion. Why? There is a need for a work on both sides. I am a man, you are, who is able to fall. Sin besets us. The enemy comes in and we can fall. Never heard of the Lord. He was greatly tempted, but he never failed. I need the power of the Spirit of God to enable me to say, as we get further on in the 6th chapter of Romans, to put death with regard to that which is of the flesh. The Spirit of God enables us to live Christ. I need a double portion, whether you do or not, I need it to you. Now let us look for a few minutes then at this psalm. Remarkable that it should be all concerning the Lord. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Here was one who knew that there was only one able to keep him. The Lord. We know what David wrote the psalm, but I'm not looking at it in that light. It's the Lord. The Lord down here is a perfect man. He was ever dependent. And he says, preserve me, O Lord, for in thee do I put my trust. Do we put our trust in the Lord? Have we so much confidence in him that we can put our trust in him in all the troubles and trials and difficulties of this life? He said, preserve me. In other words, you could say he almost felt the enemy was round him, wanting him to fall. He said, preserve me. Preserve me. For in thee do I put my trust. Do we do that? Can we turn to the Lord and say, preserve me, for in thee do I put my trust? How often do we put our trust in ourselves, in our own ability, in our own ingenuity in doing things? Oh, that we were more dependent upon the Lord. Oh, my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. Have we truly said to God, or to the Lord Jesus, thou art my Lord? Here was the blessed Lord himself, who could say to God himself in heaven, thou art my Lord. The Lord is the one that guides your life. He has the right to say, do this, do that, do the other. I says, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee. Here was a man on the earth. Where was his goodness extended to? Not going up to God, as it were. Down here to the excellence of the earth. That's where his heart was. He was here for one purpose in mind. To bring blessing to those upon whom his heart was set. It's not his desire to bring judgment. Why even he says, judgment is God's strange work. What does he delight in? Blessing. Blessing. All the blessing that comes to us from God. So he can say to the saints that are in the earth, to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Is that where our delight is set? In fellow Christians? Are we set to find our delight in fellow Christians? Some of them may be very contagious, very hard to live with. The Lord lived with them. He lived with those 12 disciples of his, did he not? He did.
He bore with them in all the ways. He could tell them what went, such as John, who lay on the bosom of the Lord, and yet is termed a son of thunder. And when the Samaritans wouldn't accept him, he said to him, "Shall I go down higher from heaven like Elijah?" "No, no. We'll fast away from Elijah and come to Elisha." God the Savior. Not God is Jah. Not God that is the great one. Majesty and glory. The lowly, humble Savior. That's the one that suits us. So he says, "I'm mighty like you there. Their slaughter shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names upon my lips." He would not have anything to do with this world and all the things that pertain to it. May God give us wisdom, guidance, ability to be done with all this world. What's the glory of him? As the flower that appeareth in a little time fade to it. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. I wonder if we can really say that God is the portion of our inheritance. It says here, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup." What I have to take down here, you drink out of a cup. We often, as we come together here, we read the word, many minister to us the things of God, and we enjoy the ministry and feel portion of good things that we get are worth having. They're true. But it says the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my Lord. Consciously, as it were, in our hearts, we look up to God and say, "Yes, thou art our portion. There's nothing on this earth. It's beyond death. It's the other side of death. And that's where we are to have it, and where we will have it. But the cup that we are to drink is down here. But the Lord is with us in it." Can we accept that? In all the sorrows and trials, in all the difficulties down here, sometimes it's very bitter, that cup. But the Lord maintains my Lord. Does he maintain yours? Ah, there's a wonderful inheritance before us in the heavens above. Where Elijah went, we've seen the Lord who was down here, is in the heavens now, come with glory and honor. And there, where he is our portion. Our lot is there, but what is it down here? We have a cup to drink. A cup often full of sorrow. Even the Lord, in his dependence upon God, upon his Father, when he met there in the garden, when he saw all that was before him, to guard the world, the sin of the world, and all connected with the will of the Father, he says, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Let it pass away." Was it that he was rebellious and wouldn't drink it? Oh, he felt the bitterness of it in his own soul. If it were possible. Nevertheless, not thy will,
Lord takes us through a difficult pathway. It may be the sorrow of lost ones, may be weakness, infirmity, it may be suffering, agony in the body. Can we say that in that cup that we drink, the Lord is with us? I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. Has he not told us of all that his counsel refers to? He has. There are portions of scripture which tell us, but by the Spirit of God we're able to grasp it in some measure. The counsels of God, all of his purposes, regard to that blessed person, and all centered around him. And he told us about it. He's told us. He's made it known to us. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. We bless the Lord for all the good things that he says is ours. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Do we often meditate upon these things? It may be even in the night seasons. These things that have come. We meditate upon the counsels that have been brought to our knowledge. And what does it come? My reins instruct me. I get instruction, as it were, as I think and meditate upon these things. I have set the Lord always before me. As I said before, there's only one that ever did that. And that's the Lord. But can we say, we ought to, I have set the Lord always before me, and no one else before me? Or what is that object that's over there that's filling your gaze? What is it? Is it something on this earth? Or is it that person in the glory? I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be afraid. He's at my right hand. He's there to help me. He's there to show me the way. He's there to sustain me in the pathway. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Can we have confidence in the Lord? You know, one can say that as confidence. Confidence in the Lord. He says, I've taken to the Lord all the things that exercise my heart. I've taken to the Lord all that I've learned. And I want to know more of them. He is there at my right hand to sustain me. I'll not be moved at all that goes along. Oh, there's confidence there. Is your confidence such in the Lord that you will not be moved? Things come all wrong. When the enemy comes in various ways, will you not be moved? But the Lord always before you. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Is a word that I've often been encouraged in. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoices. My flesh shall also rest in hope. Shall dwell confidently in the Lord. My flesh. The Lord knew that. In Europe they are living. There was an ignominious death to be nailed to a gibbet in a week. But he said, I can go along. I put my trust in God. And he will not fail me. Therefore my heart is glad. My glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Thou wilt not leave me. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. The Lord said that, as it were, in his own heart. He said it to his God in heaven. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Have you so much confidence, beloved friend, beloved one, that you know that at the end of this life on earth, God will not leave your soul in hell? We have a glorious resurrection. The Lord is the proof of it. He's risen himself, the proof that we shall rise. Put your confidence in that blessed person. He'll enable us to live here for him. Thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. We know that particularly was the Lord's. He didn't see corruption. But it is that we do see corruption. Makes no difference. Makes no difference to the God of life, the God of resurrection, not whatever. But he said, thou wilt show me the path of life, fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasure forevermore. The path of life. It's a path that we have to tread. You have to tread, I have to tread. It's a path of life. To the Lord himself, it was through death. It may be that we have to take that same path through death. But it's a path of life, not a path of death. It's a path of life. Show me the path of life. Thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasure forevermore. Well, might it say, as I see, I go into the verse 6. It says, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. My lines are fallen in goodly places. Pleasant places. Now, I take it that that referred to his life on here, on this earth. He found down here the lines, the demarcations of his life, had fallen in pleasant places. Where did the Lord live down here? He lived in Galilee. They were a funny class of people, those Galileans. And yet he lived among them. Well, he worked among them. God bless you. In thinking of it in that light, my mind went to what we get with regard to Solomon. You remember Hiram? He helped Solomon a good deal to build his house, to build the temple. And he got wood and stone and helped him very much. And he asked for a reward, as it were, from Solomon. And what did Solomon do? He gave him, I think it's 12 villages in Galilee. Hiram comes to look at them. Oh, he says, dirty, filthy things. Dirty, filthy. I don't want that. It was that same Galilee where the Lord found his lines were in pleasant places. Are our lines the life we live down here, the circumstances in which we are found, are those lines pleasant places? Oh, we need to bring the Lord into it all. because I find this in my own heart. That if there's one thing in mankind, I'm always wanting a change. Something different to what I've got. It's nature. It's an Adam nature in me. Wherever I am, we need to have that confidence in God. Whatever it may be then, that the Lord takes us with, we can take it and say, the Lord with me. I travel the Lord with the road with him. And he'll be. That's the path of life. Where does it lead? My presence is fullness of joy. In our measure we can enjoy it now in the Spirit. And thy right hand pleasures forevermore. May the day, how soon it will be, when actually bodily will be in the presence of the Lord and know what pleasures are.